Welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, today joined by Mohammed Usman. Sorry. Okay, sorry about that. Yeah. Now, you're in this interesting organization called PQO, which is Product Quality and Online. Yep. Okay. And so you guys are writing the infrastructure that we use as Microsoft to help support customers, yep. right? So yep. so we're actually looking at some of the stuff that you guys do right here, yep. this website, which is on the product support site.
Yes.
So what are we seeing here?
This is called online assisted support. This
okay.
is one type of work which we do.
Yeah.
And the theme of this is that we help the customers, Microsoft customers. Here you can see multiple Microsoft products.
Yeah.
And if you have a problem with, let's say, Windows 7 Enterprise, you select this product, and we walk you through a step of questionnaires
okay.
where we try to find out who you are, how you use this product, and what type of problems you have.
Right.
And then we try to figure out if we already have a solution.
Okay.
We will give you right away, like KB article or somebody have already posted into the MS Answers
yeah.
That answer. Or we might create a ticket, and then one of the support agent from the Microsoft will contact you.
Mm.
And we have different channels like phone, email, chat. And here, what you are seeing here, there are a bunch of questions which we ask to the user. And this we call it as a guided solution.
Okay.
And this all differ, but who you are, which region you are,
yeah.
what type of product you have, what version you have.
Right.
And there are a lot of different variations, a lot of different. So the screen which we saw first and what we are seeing now, that mm-hmm. all depends based on what you have chosen here on this screen.
Yeah.
And all those business rules or business logic which we have, which determine what the user will see
uh-huh.
on the
so
next place.
This looks deceptively simple on the
yep.
on the outside. It looks
exactly.
like a five-step wizard. You know, we're just going to walk you through some things.
Yep.
But really, behind the scenes, it's very, very complicated. Lots of options of where things might
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
And so, how are you building these today?
So, what we had, these all business rules, all these transitions. So, usually in web applications, when we have a navigation from one screen to another screen,
mm-hmm.
One screen knows what is going to be my target or n number of targets.
Okay.
And it executes those rules and it might land up to those targets. And this is all baked it into the code.
Okay. All
yeah.
right.
And the kind of problems we were having, like all, you know, the business world is changing every time.
Yeah.
And we get all the business, and we are supporting all Microsoft products.
Yeah.
And with the one team, we get each product team, okay, we have this business rule changed.
Yeah.
Go and change it, and we tell them, okay, our release is coming after 2 months, wait for that.
Okay.
Because all this code, all this logic is baked into the code.
Yeah.
So the initiative we took, we said, okay, if we can decouple
right.
what's deciding how the transition from one screen to another screen
mm-hmm.
out of the code and put it somewhere else,
yeah.
which is easy to manage and which is fast to release and make the modification instead of changing the whole code base and releasing it the
yeah.
whole bunch. So that will be really win. And we looked at the different options and we found that Workflow Foundation is the great fit into that.
Okay.
Because it gives all the business rules which are in the code, it gives a visual representation.
Yeah.
You can see all your code branches, where it is going.
Yeah.
And it provides a drag and drop kind of mechanism.
Now, the yep. business rules and these screens and the options that people have, those are created by what kind of person creates those sorts of
so
things?
So, as of today, the developers, we get the business request
yeah.
and we make the changes. We make
so
changes.
The developers actually write the code, but who thinks of these rules and all that kind of stuff?
These are all the different business groups across the Microsoft.
Okay.
That's from Windows 7, their business group, they will tell us for the Windows 7 professional.
So non-developers,
yeah,
right?
Non-developers.
They're business people.
Yep.
Yeah, they're thinking of things. They go, okay, we want this and this and this.
Yep, yep.
But see, that now it's like, it's a programming project,
exactly.
right? So they have to schedule that. It has to get in your release cycle. And when you touch the code, then it means you got to do full QA passes and exactly. and all that kind of yep. stuff. It's a big, you know, release cycle. It's a big deal, right? Yep. To make a little change exactly. is a very big deal. Yep.
And that's where the workflow foundation comes in. It's if you take this all into a workflow,
yeah.
which is a XAML or XAMLX,
mm-hmm.
and we can treat them as a content.
Yeah.
And we have an initiative called Common Workflow.
Yeah.
And that's target is we enable the business people
mm-hmm.
who decide this business rule, let them manage these workflows.
Ah,
because
okay.
workflow designer is really simple to use. There is very less code involved in writing those.
Yeah.
So we are also adding a kind of abstraction layer on top of the workflow designer. So the business people, they will be the actual people who design these workflows.
Ah, so you're going to yeah. actually empower them yeah. with a rehosted workflow designer
yes.
to go make a little change or describe a new flow
yep.
or whatever.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, so let's see what you guys have done.
Yes, so what I have here is I have a simple sample, which is the ASP.NET MVC Music Store.
Okay.
This is sample put by the ASP.NET MVC team.
Mm-hmm.
It's available on their website. And it's an e-commerce music store where people can buy the music.
Right.
It has a shopping cart and they can purchase that.
So, and actually the whole checkout process is very similar to the kind of wizards you're doing, right? Because it's a multi-stage
exactly,
wizard
exactly.
sort of thing, right?
So what they had is they had a very simple checkout process.
Yeah.
You enter your shipping and billing information. And so I have extended it a little bit to have all the different kind of options. So if you walk through this checkout process,
it always takes forever. Whenever there's a camera on, it's going to take forever to start this thing. Okay, there it goes.
So we have this music store.
Okay.
And if I go to the shopping cart, I have already added some of the things to the shopping cart.
Okay.
And when I hit the checkout, there is a series of steps user have to perform. Choose his shipping method. Check how he want to make the payment, what is his shipping address, billing address, how he want it to be delivered.
Right.
Right. And how he want to make the payment.
Okay.
So this is all a multi-step process.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see how and in the actual implementation, if we look at the controller which comes with the sample, here are a bunch of actions
right.
which show the address and payment. And on the post, it does the saving, and then it do the redirect. And it knows these are hard-coded
right.
what is the next screen to show.
So if your process was a little more complicated,
yes.
you might have here like if blah, 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 else this, and yeah,
and
a bunch of...
Here, a whole lot of business rules will go here.
Yeah.
If user have selected this, do this, or user have done this, or if user is from this region, take him to here,
okay.
or user have this kind of subscription, do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So what... we will try to do it. We will take this hard-coded logic which we have entered here and put it into a workflow.
Okay.
And then this controller will be just a simple wrapper around that workflow.
Okay.
And I have written this this workflow which instead of having those all the actions, all this workflow does is it's a generic checkout workflow.
Okay.
And when it get request, it executes a workflow.
Okay.
And that workflow decides all the steps in that checkout process.
Right.
So we
And you guys had some interesting things about the navigation. So you had this requirement that you could go back to any previous step.
Exactly.
And so I saw that you're passing in here. So you create a workflow and you
yep.
pass in a history of the bookmarks
yes.
that you've gone to.
Exactly. So if you look at... on any web application, there are a bunch of different actions user can perform.
Right.
he's on this screen, he can say, I want to go next.
Right.
And if he's reached to that screen, he might say, I want to go back to my previous screen, or I want to make some changes, and then again, I want to come back. Or there are also concept of these breadcrumbs, which are
right up here across the top. Yeah.
That if I am on the, let's say, fifth step, I want to directly jump to the first step, and I want to make some changes, and then again, come back.
Yeah.
So these are also some of the things which would need to be dynamically generated, right?
Yeah.
So if your business rule change, how do you calculate? How do you build the breadcrumbs, or how do you enable the back button, or let the user to take the back button?
Which is a particular issue for workflow, because workflow likes to move forward.
Exactly.
And there's really no good way to say, go back three steps and, you know, start this
exactly.
again.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys actually analyzed this with, like, what would it take to do it with a flow chart or a state machine and stuff. That was pretty complicated, right?
So here, if we see this, the same workflow.
Yeah.
It's in a Visio. We see here we have first step shipping method, shipping address, promo code. And then we have a decision point here. If we say they have a free promo code, create the order, don't take any payment from them, and just give them the order number. Or if they don't have, we take them to the payment option page, and then we have three types of payments, either PayPal, through Google Checkout, or through credit card.
Yeah.
And if they choose to the credit card, they enter the billing address, credit card information, and we create the order and give them the order number.
Yeah.
So, by looking at this flowchart, workflow 4 has flowchart type of workflow.
Sure.
That's really amazing. I mean, the same type of workflow we are seeing here. And I have a...
Oh, yeah, you have a flowchart version, yeah.
I have a flowchart version, which exactly looks like the Visio diagram we have here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have different activities for all these steps.
Yeah.
And we make a decision. But the problem with this one is flowchart is one activity and it will execute.
Yeah.
But we have, what we are seeing here are multiple states.
Mm.
And we want to have execute, user can be on one state, and then it need to return to the application, and then user can perform another action.
Yeah.
So we have bookmarks there. We can create a bookmark after each activity.
Yeah.
And then this workflow will wait for the user to get the input he want to move next, right? So this works fine if it's all next, next, next.
Yeah.
But at any point, user can say, if we have created a bookmark here, user say, I want to go back.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
So workflow... Mm-hmm. When we resume, workflow will go to the forward, it won't go to the back.
And situation. I remember when we first met and talked about this, we discussed this idea, and you know, the problem is that the workflow, like if we're on this step, it's waiting for that bookmark.
Yes.
And if we've persisted the workflow, there's no way for us to say, hey, workflow, we'd like to go back to shipping instead of promo code.
Exactly.
And so we decided actually at that point that persisting these workflows was probably not going to help you guys in the long run.
Exactly. So I have another version. We say, okay, user can also have back action performed.
Uh-huh.
So what we do, after each activity, we have a decision point.
Yeah.
We check after resuming each bookmark. What the user have said, next or back. If he have said next and go to the next activity, if he said back, then take the user back to the previous activity.
Yeah.
But by adding this logic, you see here.
Your flowchart got pretty ugly.
It's going to be pretty ugly. And it's only next and back.
Yeah.
How about if we have the breadcrumb? Means each activity, it can go to any of the previous activities.
Yeah, it's going to be a real mess.
We will have a switch activity somewhere, which will have all those branching for all the previous activities.
Yeah.
And there is no way so that a business person can have all these paths draw and he can manage all those. And there are, you know, so these were the problems we ran in.
And we said, yeah, I guess you could say, sure, you could have done this, and then it would have been so complicated that you wouldn't really have solved one of the problems you set out to solve in the first place, that a business person could change this.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. So, And then we look at the state machine that yeah. was also kind of complex,
yeah.
which we don't think business people would able to do that.
Right.
So what we have here is we went out and we created a custom activity, which is called Wizard.
Yeah.
And all that custom activity is, so Wizard is actually a collection of these three custom activities which we have created.
Yeah.
Wizard Container, Wizard, and Step.
Okay.
And the concept of Wizard is really simple. It's like a sequence activity.
Mm-hmm.
And Wizard can have multiple steps in it.
Right.
Let's try to create a Wizard here. And Wizard Container is the topmost, and its job is it takes the in arguments,
mm-hmm.
which all the activities will need, and it just stick them into the execution properties.
Mm.
So each and every activity don't have to expose them as in argument, and business person have to go properties window and map them with the in arguments.
Oh, right.
So it's just to make the job really easy. We uh-huh. take all the in arguments and stick it to the container, stick them into the execution properties.
So what I love about this is yeah. you guys really thought about the way that the business user thinks about the problem.
Exactly.
They think about it as a series of steps.
Yes.
And they don't care about, yeah, somebody can go back to the beginning at
exactly.
any time. They don't worry about that. They just yeah. think that way.
So let's say we drop three steps in this vision.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at our workflow, so we had shipping method, shipping address, promo code here.
Yeah.
And we have activities here for each of that step. So let's say shipping method activity. And all this activity is doing, so if we look at this activity, they actually tell what is the view name.
Mm-hmm.
When they execute, they will decide what the view to show and what the model of that view need to be.
Okay.
That's the job of the controller in MVC, that
yeah.
particular action. It decides what the view to show to the user, and it will call some the middle tier, get the model back, the data back, pass to the view to render it.
Right.
And that's these activities do that job.
So your team will develop a set of activities that
exactly.
people can use in these wizards.
Yes.
Okay.
So we will have a bunch of activities and business people, they can go and they can arrange them in any order
right.
where they want the user experience.
Okay.
So we are trying to create this workflow using Wizard.
Yeah.
And now the second activity is shipping address. And the third is we let them enter the promo code.
And the other thing that was cool, and you mentioned it earlier, but I just want to remind people
sure.
that you talked about execution properties.
Yes.
So this container gets all of the arguments and stores these properties. These activities can just access them, so you're not asking the business user to go to the property grid or
yeah.
create a variable
exactly.
or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So you see here all the in arguments?
Yeah.
These all in arguments, wizard container takes them and stick into the execution properties.
Ah.
So these activities in there, so if you look at this, and they, we have a set value
uh-huh.
in the context, and they get this from outside the context.
Oh, right? Okay.
So this, in the execution properties, they can get all the activities. Business people don't have to set them explicitly
mm-hmm.
as in arguments. So activities inside them, they can grab from the execution property set by the wizard container,
yeah.
and they can make the changes or make use of them.
So this context,
yep.
you actually pass it into the workflow. Every time someone comes into the controller,
exactly.
you pass this context
yes.
in, and then you store it in the session state, then?
Yes. So what this context actually contains, it contains the request object,
uh-huh.
which means all the query string, form post values, session variables.
Uh-huh.
It contains the user identity,
oh, okay.
who the user is.
Yeah.
And it actually mimics the HTTP context and
okay.
the web application we have. So controller populates this context. We have the model binders, which do the model binding
uh-huh.
in the MVC. And it passed to the workflow.
Ah.
So our application will have whole HTTP context access what the request is, what is the response is, and it can set all the data back to the response.
Cool. All right. Excellent.
And it's stored into the session of the user. Okay. Now we have created this wizard with these three basic steps.
Yeah.
And the way wizard works, so you see we haven't drawn any arrows from one step to another step,
mm-hmm.
because it's all in sequence. And the way wizard works is, every time you execute a wizard,
mm-hmm.
it will look at the history. If it's the first time it's running, it will execute the first step.
Yeah.
And then it will stop there and return the control back to the calling application.
Right.
Now calling application again will call the wizard, and it can pass an action here, which is this in argument.
Uh-huh.
Action could be next, back, or go to.
Oh,
so
okay.
These are three commands which wizard understand.
Yeah.
And if it says next, so if it's on this first step, it will move to the second step.
Right.
And if it is on the second step, the command came as back, it will just decrement the index of that and execute this child activity.
Okay.
And if it's on this step and the command came as go to zero index,
yeah,
go to the step zero, and wizard will execute, will calculate and look at the index of the all the child activities,
mm-hmm.
and will execute that particular step.
Ah.
So that's all navigation being handled by the wizard itself.
Yeah.
And when we execute it, we just pass the command,
uh-huh.
and the history is stored into the session of the user.
Right.
And that history, all it contains, what the step it was,
yeah.
what was the ID.
Yeah.
And each step then also tells, do I have a next activity than
mm-hmm.
me? Or do I have a previous activity?
Mm-hmm.
You see those next back buttons? So the application can read that history,
yeah.
and they can decide that on the final step, they need to show the next button or
uh-huh.
not.
Yeah.
Or on the first step, they want to show the back button or not. So that's all being done by this wizard, returns the history.
Yeah.
And with that history also, we build the breadcrumbs. So if you see in the views, I have here navigation. So the bookmark which I was talking, this is a custom bookmark, this is just a class.
Uh-huh.
And it has the properties has back, has next. And we check that if it has a back, we enable the back button, if it has uh-huh. a next. So we make use of what the wizard returns back in the application layer,
uh-huh.
and we show the UI. And we have here breadcrumbs.
And this is MVC2, right?
This is MVC2.
Okay.
And breadcrumbs take the history object, which is the list of bookmarks,
mm-hmm.
which is at what stage the wizard is and what are the previous activities user have traversed.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes through, iterate through, and take the step ID and step name.
Mm-hmm.
So the breadcrumb you were seeing there, they are built by the history which workflow returned.
Oh, okay.
An application can make use of that and make the breadcrumbs out of that.
And then you also support the idea of one wizard, depending on an answer, might invoke another wizard, or different wizards can be embedded
exactly.
inside, right?
So what we were looking at, this workflow,
mm-hmm.
now we got a decision point here.
Yeah, right.
So in a sequence, we were coming in a sequence, we said step one, step two, step three, and now we got a decision point here.
Okay.
And this kind of branching to support it, what we will do, we will create a step here. Inside the step, now we have an if-else condition.
Uh-huh.
We have either it could be true or false.
Right.
Right. So we will drop if-else activity here. And now this decision we need to make based on the user input, what user have entered.
Yeah.
And in the context, we have request object, which will contain whatever user have entered. So we are checking what user have entered in the promo code field.
Okay.
and we say if that's equal to free, then what we want to do, we want to take the user to the confirmation page.
Okay.
And in the then command, we take the user and drop the confirmation activity here.
Right.
Else, now here is again a series of steps.
Okay.
And these series of steps, so remember the step, wizard treats step as one activity and execute the whole step.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a way to tell the wizard that, hey, this step contains multiple steps in that.
Yeah.
So the way to do that, you can add a wizard inside step again here.
Ah.
So this will treat like a child wizard.
Yeah.
So when it hit this branch, and there we can add multiple steps again inside that.
So and then if you're on one of these steps and you go back to the start, it'll do that.
It will do that.
Yeah.
It will do that. And if they are on this step and they hit the back button,
yeah,
it will move to this previous step.
Ah.
Which was in the parent wizard, it will move to this step.
And so then if somebody said, let's say they put in free, and then, or maybe, let's do it the other way. They didn't put free.
Yep.
They come in here and they go, oh, I forgot, I have the free promo code. They hit the back button. They go put in free. Every time you run this, this is going to get reevaluated. So
exactly.
If they did change their promo code, you would go down this branch now.
Yes, exactly.
Ah, okay.
So now let's complete this. So we had the payment option activity here.
Yeah.
If that is not true. And let's drop the payment options activity here in this step. Now, after this step, we again have a decision point.
Yeah.
Which is now not true or false. It's now there could be three options.
Right.
We give to the user either PayPal or checkout, Google checkout, or the credit card.
Right.
So for this kind of decision making, we can use the switch activity, which is in the WF4. So we use the switch activity here, and we say it's of type string. And now this expression will be what user have picked in those radio buttons options.
Mm. Okay.
And we can again say context.request. Again, to remind, request gives us all the form post values and query string which user have chosen.
Mm-hmm.
We can say payment option. And now we can have a case for PayPal. If user have selected PayPal, and we can, what we are going to do, we are going to redirect the user to the PayPal website.
Okay.
And if user have selected Google checkout, we will go ahead and we will redirect the user to the Google checkout. And if user says credit card, now see here, credit card again here have a multiple steps in here.
Right.
We need to ask what is your billing address, we need to ask what is the credit card information, and we need to show the confirmation.
Yeah.
So for this, we can again, in this case, whenever we have multiple steps, we can again drop a wizard in here.
Yeah.
So let's drop the wizard in here. And now we require three steps here. One for their billing address, one for their credit card information, and one for showing the confirmation page. So we had the billing address, we had the credit card activity, and we show the user then the confirmation page.
Oh, cool.
So that's how our complete workflow looks like. We had first shipping method, address, promo code, and then we check if promo code they have entered free. Then we take the user to the confirmation. Otherwise, we go into the else branch, which is again a child wizard. And then it execute this wizard, and then we show them the payment options.
Yeah.
Then there could be three types of payment they can have selected. We use the switch. And in the switch, each path they could have these three different options
selected. So you guys also built a design tool for your business users.
Exactly.
Right, that we're not including in this, right?
Yeah, we are not including. So the type of these commands we have written,
yeah,
we don't expect business people to write this
okay.
VB expression.
Right, right.
So what we have a custom expression builder.
Yeah.
Which it's kind of a query builder tool where they will see all the values in the context.
Okay.
And they can just drag and drop and there, and they can see if it contains or equal to.
Yeah.
And they can write the value in there.
So you took their experience and made it even easier than it looks here, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And then they can go and edit these things. You store the definitions in a database. They can go browse them and pull out new ones and publish them and through the whole process, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
We also have a publishing process where they can make the changes. We deploy into the int environment where they can review all the changes. They can run the workflows.
Yeah.
Or even inside the tool, they can run the workflows.
Okay, so they can make sure it's still working good.
Exactly.
Now, and it's interesting. So I think the key things to take away from this is that the extensibility that Workflow gave you allowed you to do all of this. So you didn't—you weren't really bending Workflow in some strange way. I mean, we intended for people to do this sort of stuff.
Yep.
I think the other thing that's really cool is how you dealt with the state here. So you deal with the state by, instead of persisting a long-running workflow, you took all the state in this context object you created, you store it in the session state. When you need to deal with it in a workflow, you pass the whole thing in and let the workflow evaluate everything in the state, so it kind of falls through to the right place.
Exactly.
And then that way, if anybody goes back to any previous point, it'll fall to just that place.
Exactly.
And you're good to go.
Yeah. So we don't persist the workflow at any point.
Yeah.
Every time this workflow runs, it runs at a time.
Yeah.
And it returns the context, and that context is being stored by the application layer, in this case, ASP.NET MVC, into the user session.
Yeah.
And we are using app fabric caching. That is great.
Ah, okay.
Working in this scenario.
So you're storing the session state in the cache.
Session state into the cache, which is using app fabric cache. And then when the next request comes for the same session, we pull that history and we pass it as an in argument to this workflow, and this workflow again executes.
That's fantastic work. Yeah. It's really, really great to see it. And you guys are code complete now. It's kind of going through its final test
pass.
Yes,
we are going the first release in the June.
Okay.
We are releasing in the June.
Sweet. Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing this with us. It's great. We're going to post this code so that people will, they'll always ask, can I have the code? Yes, we're going to post the code. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. But thanks again, Mohammed, for being with us.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time on Endpoint TV.